today, this is just like framing what we're going to launch in for today. Today is dedicated to declaring our dependence on Krishna on Independence Day, and specifically dependence upon the holy name. This is preparation collectively, the various presentations throughout the day, along with kirtan, is to help prepare us for 32 round day tomorrow. If we had a longer weekend, we could make it 64 round day, but we can't because we have to go back to our location. So 32 round day, meaning quantitative and qualitatively improving whatever our standard of chanting of the holy name is day to day, we want to go further into that, more deeply absorbed in the holy name. And at least my part of this preparation for the holy name day, for the chanting of the holy name in 32 rounds, is from this nice little book. See how skinny it is? It's called Japa. And it's that's Prajalpa, not Japa. And very enthusiastic Prajalpa at that. Okay. So Bhurijan Prabhu is a very wonderful Vaishnava and very dear to me. He's kind of, by Krishna's arrangement, helped me in different stages of my Krishna consciousness, starting from, we were college students together, and he was 1 year older than me, and when I first, I didn't even know who he was, but I found out later who he was, and he gave me my first Back to Godhead magazine, but I didn't even know what it was. And then his life circumstance changed, and he went to Japan. So I never had been to Japan, so I never saw Bhurijan till again he came back to Vrindavan. And then he was conducting the VIAG, which was systematic study of Prabhupada's books. He's been kind of like, you know, ahead of the wave. So now it's very common. Devotees are systematically studying Prabhupada's books through Bhakti Shastri, but before there was Bhakti Shastri, there was Bhurijan conducting that systematic study, and then they inaugurated Bhakti Shastri system and VIHE, and then slowly the rest of the world started following that, and then he went on to Bhakti Vaibhav. Just a little appreciation of his dedication. He spent probably close to a year studying the first canto to sixth canto about 8 to 10 hours a day, 7 days of the week, for about a year. Try it. And his sharing with me was the first 4 or 5 hours was so-so, it was nice, but not really getting into the feelings of Bhagavatam. But after 5th hour, 6th hour, 7th hour, then diving into the ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he did it every day. Who knows? I don't know what his ongoing Bhagavatam study has been. And then writing study guides to help us, you know, following the lead that he's been creating. And then very quietly, after Kartika's over, very quietly, he was conducting japa retreats at Govardhan. And a small group of devotees, couple, a dozen or whatever, some small number, But every year, going more deeply into the holy name, more deeply into the holy name. So this is the fruit of 15 years of that. A little skinny book with the association of Satchinandan Swami, and it went from the Govardhan Japa retreat to the Barsana Japa retreat, and then the Govardhan Japa retreat. And, you know, one was like 101 and the other was 201. And just did it every year quietly, and this expresses his realizations, and he's sharing it, and I'd like to honor him and share with you also. What's going to go up on the board here is 9 points that makes up this book, 9 points for improving japa based upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam, first 5 verses. So I'm only going to give you a capsule because of time constraint. But capsules work, little sound bites, and then something that you can practice and go more deeply with. It's inspired primarily, as far as my knowledge is, that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one book, I'm not sure the title, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, I think. I have a copy, it's for everybody else. But just don't disturb everybody now, we can do it, disturb everybody in just a moment. Just, thank you. Thanks. He wrote one book that's, the title I'm not sure of, I can't recall, but it's, the entire book is describing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam is it's a roadmap to go from Shraddha to Prema through the chanting of the holy name. Huh? Bhajanam Rahasya, thank you Maharaj. Bhajanam Rahasya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Borijan isn't taking us to prema in his book, he's taking us to taste, to ruchi, and asakti, bhava, and prema. So the first 6 of the 9 stages of bhakti, most of you are familiar with that. Starting from faith, preliminary faith, then Krishna sends association, sadhu sangha, and then devotional practices in sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishtha, steady faith, and then taste. So we're going to very quickly go up to taste, at least conceptually, and have tools to help us in our 32-round day to go a little closer to that platform. Something that I think I'll mention right now is what our acharyas describe, Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, etc., that the stages of bhakti are unique in that what stages of the growth of something material works in the following way. Something that exists now, in the next stage is gone, so that we can have what we have in the next stage, and what we have in the next stage, that's gone, so we can have what's in the next stage, and so on. Just like, you know, when I first knew you, you were really small. Yeah, you. Now that little, you know, little baby practically body, where is it? It's gone. And today you're, but you know, in another 5 years, you'll be as big as mom. And who knows, maybe you'll be as big as your brother after that. Maybe not. Your brother's pretty big. But the, you know, the body that you have now, after some time, it's going to be gone. But you're still going to be here. The stages of bhakti work differently. It's important. What exists previously continues in the next stage. And then whatever those first two stages, it continues in the third stage and so on. It's not just maturing. It is maturing, but it's not just maturing. It's expanding and unfolding, and it's still there in its fullness and becomes more full. Another way of saying the same thing is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the first stage of Shraddha is what all of the other eight stages are, just given different names in its maturing, of Shraddha to Prema. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And Krishna is most intelligent. He didn't have to go to school. He went to school. But like Krishna and in the school of Sandipani Muni, he did so to show by example. But Krishna doesn't need to learn anything. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't need to learn anything, although he went to school. And within a short period of time, he had mastered everything his teacher had to teach. And so then he began to be an apprentice teacher. This Leela, but he is the personality of Godhead. He is the source of all Vedas. He is Sarvagya. He's fully independent. So, he gave many teachings that he spoke, but in the written form, there, all that's known is these eight. So everything is there. Just unpack it, and everything is there. And put it back together again, and you have the Shikshastakam. So we'll do some unpacking, and then some repacking. And his overall gift is Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's giving love for Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, and he's giving this very compact user's instructions of how to take the holy name and get there, or get that gift that he's given. So that's preparation for beginning the first verse. So, where's Shivram? We can now pass out those sheets. How many of you already know, we're stalling for time right now, how many of you already know first verse, Cheto Darpana Marjanam? Okay. So, what happened to the sheet? What happened to Shivram? Okay, so let's just chant it together while we're waiting for the sheets. Those of you that know. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnamrutasvadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. These are seven glories or effects of the chanting of the holy name, and we're going to go through each of the seven, and by hearing them, it practically, if you hear it carefully and properly, it produces an inspiration to want to chant. So where's our scribe? First one is chant. We keep it simple in little codes. Chant. So, Cheta Dharpa Namarjanam. Cheta means several things. It cleanses the mirror of the mind, so it can mean the mind. Sometimes it's translated as heart. Sometimes, more commonly even, it's consciousness. But this is a metaphor, the phrase, Cheta Dharpana Marjanam. Marjanam means cleansing, just like Mandira Marjanado. In our morning prayers, we sing. The spiritual master is very pleased when he sees his disciples are cleansing the temple. Mandira Marjana, cleansing the temple. So this is Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror. Dharpana means mirror. Cleansing the mirror of consciousness, Cheta. So the glory, first one that's mentioned, is this chanting cleanses the mirror of our consciousness. Sometimes Prabhupada has used the example of a diamond covered with mud. So when a diamond is covered with mud, the natural quality of the diamond is concealed by the mud, and you don't even see the diamond, you just see the mud. Similarly, the mind, if cleansed, can allow us to see ourselves, or through that lens of the mind. Or consciousness itself is the soul, that's who we are. But when you have a mirror that's covered by dust, for how long has our mirror, our mind, been covered? I'm not going to need you to write something for another 10 minutes or something like that. So, supposing that's a mirror, and you look at yourself in the mirror and there's dust, but not just a little dust. Lifetimes, unlimited numbers of lifetimes, 30 miles worth of dust. When you look at the mirror, what do you see? You see dust. And what is that dust? What are those little particles of dust? That's our contamination, the infection with the modes of material nature. Most prominent is the mode of passion. The mode of passion says, I want to enjoy. And of course, to enjoy separately from Krishna means we need instruments to do that. We need senses. We need a body. But the body is a lump of ignorance, so we have a strong dose of ignorance too. So we're looking at ourselves in this mirror, and all we see is desires to enjoy and identification with the body in different varieties. And that very circumstance produces all of our suffering. Say it a couple more times. All the difficulties, without exception, the difficulties that we experience in our material existence has to do with this misidentification. The root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And that primary manifestation of ignorance is our misidentification with something that we're not, this body, and all the variations that follow that, the designations, the upadis. So the second one follows The first one, the cleansing. So this is a the way that Bhajana Rahasya describes this is these are meditations. They're inspirations to chant, but they're also meditations to help you absorb yourself in the holy name. So while you're chanting the holy name, I had this experience. It's not your attention goes away from the holy name, but the lens through which you contemplate Krishna, bring your attention to Krishna is cleansing the mirror of the mind, or Krishna is cleansing your consciousness. All that contamination of desire and ignorance is being cleansed just by associating with the holy name. It's a meditation. Cheta darpana marjanam. While you're chanting Krishna's holy name. Cheta darpana marjanam. It's an inspiration. It's a meditation. It brings jubilation to the heart. And practically speaking, also, one can experience it subjectively. It's not just some nice altruistic, idealistic, like it would be really nice if that would happen. One can experience it happening. And as one experiences cleansing of the consciousness, the eradication of these particles of dust accumulated for years together, just from associating with the holy name, one becomes enlivened to chant the holy name, chant with enthusiasm, with some appreciation and gratitude towards the holy name. So, moving on. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. This agni means fire, and mahadavagni means big fire. And this material existence is compared to a big fire. So how do you put out a big fire, a big forest fire? Has anyone been in the vicinity of a forest fire besides seeing it on television? I was going on a highway once, and off in the distance was a mountain, and on the mountain was a fire. And you could feel the heat, like miles away. And as you got closer and closer, you didn't want to get closer, because it was so intense and raging and raging and raging. And it's very powerful and very fearful. So what are you going to do? Get buckets of water and throw it on the raging fire, or get those big fire hoses? And it doesn't work. Nothing works. Unless there's a downpour of torrential rain, and then it works. So this is the downpour of torrential rain. Bhava mahadhavagni nirvapanam. It extinguishes nirvapanam, the sufferings of this blazing fire of material existence. So one experiences that. It's a glory. So now we'll go back. You're chanting. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So this extinguishing of the blazing fire of material existence is something you can experience. And as you experience it and you're meditating on that, it is happening. This is the holy name. This is a shelter that's taking care of this. That which otherwise, any effort that we make to stop the sufferings of material existence, it doesn't work. This works. It's a meditation, a glory, a feature of the holy name. Those of you that are familiar with Nectar of Devotion know from chapter 1 of Nectar of Devotion, the chapter title is 6 Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service, correct? And The first two correspond with what we're covering just now. Kleshagni, the eradication of all material sufferings from the chanting of the holy name. In Rupa Goswami's language, it's devotional service, but devotional service begins with hearing and chanting. So those sufferings are eliminated. Cleansing, sufferings eliminated. It corresponds with sadhana bhakti, which is what we're doing. We're not at the bhava bhakti stage yet, probably. We're probably at the sadhana stage. So that's something that's a glory of the holy name, and one can meditate upon it and increase one's inspiration and enthusiasm for chanting to get out of the complacency mode and into the enthusiasm mode by inspiration and then experiencing by giving your attention to something that you're in the presence of that helps you appreciate that something. So these verses help bring our attention to this glory of the holy name and be more attentive to the holy name. Chant nicely. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. The white lotus of good fortune becomes expanded just from chanting. That is to say, we have our real nature, just like back to the diamond again that's covered in mud. The diamond has its natural quality. It sparkles. It's very beautiful. Covered in mud. You can't see the sparkle. So when the coverings, similarly, of the soul are removed, the natural quality of the soul becomes disclosed. And that natural quality of the soul is very auspicious. It's very wonderful. So the metaphor is of a lotus that's opening. So lotuses open in the presence of the sun, and at night the lotuses close. So the lotus of our good fortune without chanting is closed. It's still a lotus, but closed. And the chanting opens, and this taranam, it expands and expands and expands. The natural inherent quality of the soul manifests and expands. It's something like a seed. So when you take seeds, let's say you want to have mung sprouts. So you take a bunch of mung and put, it's just a little seed with a dark green hard covering. You put it in some water and expose it to light and let it sit there. And what happens? The hard covering starts to soften, and then the inside starts to swell. And then, boop, the hard covering softened opens, and the inside continues to swell. Boop. So that's this Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. And one can experience that when chanting, and it's a meditation to inspire one to chant. We're getting out of complacency now. We're experiencing, and we're inspired enthusiastically. Chant the holy name. Then Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Literally translated, this means the life of the wife of knowledge. So let's unpack that one. Because Vadhu means wife, and Jivanam is the life. But just so Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, no, Bhaktisiddhanta explains that just as a wife is faithful and chaste to her husband, so where the husband goes, the wife goes. So the process, when the process of bhakti is being applied nicely, when we're chanting nicely, then knowledge awakens. But knowledge is the wife of devotional service. She follows like the wife follows the husband. So the name is there, and the name is then awakening, or has as its companion knowledge. And the chanting is the life of the wife of knowledge that comes from devotional service. And starts with detaching ourselves from false ego, the misconception of something that we're not, and the awakening of who we really are. And that's the beginning of self-realization. But it continues and continues and continues. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes us in his writings, in Bhajana Rahasya, to the full stage. Here's what he writes, those of you that are ready for the full stage. At least know what's coming attractions. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Vraja and reveals his own love dalliance. That's the holy name. His own love, because the name and Krishna are non-different. Abhinatvam nama namino. The name and Krishna are non-different. So the name takes one to Vraja and then reveals his own love dalliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. This is a verse from Sharanagati, Sri Nam Mahatmya. So what this means is the holy name is independent. This is a dependence day, so we're declaring our dependence upon the holy name so we can have independence like Krishna. Independently he does this. He's not obliged. It's independently by his own will. He's Swarat. Just like in India there's Swaraj. Mahatma Gandhi's Swaraj mission. So this is, Krishna is Swarat. He's fully independent. He doesn't have to do anything. But this is his nature, and this is what he does. He takes the living entity to this place. It starts with our preliminary kind of neophyte stage of practice, but this is where it takes us if we stay faithful to the holy name. So that's an inspiration. At whatever stage we're in, that's an inspiration. And continue with that inspiration, you'll experience these things. Then, anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ananda, we know, is transcendental pleasure. Ambuddhi means an ocean. And Vardhana means the chanting of the holy name increases the ocean of bliss and gives us a taste for that nectar, amrita, for which we are always anxious. Prati padam purnamritas vadanam. Prati padam means at every step. In the maturing stages, we all have something that's keeping us going in chanting. Like, you know, the kirtan last night keeps us going. Where there may be, you know, some little periods of, you know, we're struggling or something like that, but from that kirtan, we're high flying. So we know that there's something there. But in the maturing stage, pratipadam, at every step, there's this ocean, there's this taste, purna amrita, the complete amrita, nectar, for which we are always anxious. On the soul level, we're anxious for that. We're not just wanting happiness like sense gratification looks like. The soul is hankering for that. We're yearning for that experience, always and ever increasing. And the chanting of the holy name gives that gift. Sarvatma snapanam. Snapana means cleansing or bathing. The soul is taking a bath, a shower, in this nectar of the holy name. Param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. So that's this. Bhurijan's approach is to take things that are very, very beautiful and eloquent and detailed and make it really simple. So, chant. And supposing we're not experiencing all those wonderful things, chant. At whatever stage we're in, chant. Oh, I'm not experiencing, maybe I should give up. Chant. It's the commitment to do that, or the inspiration to do that, or the wisdom to do that. Chant. Then, following chanting, there's hearing. So we're going to move into Shikshastakam number 2. I hope. Yeah. So you now have sheets, right? So let's chant together Shikshastakam number 2. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamatak smarane nakalaha etadrushita vakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivan idrushimaha janina nuragaha. Krishna has packed his holy name with all of his transcendental potencies. Something that I think of when I meditate on that one is, compare the holy name to the sun. How much energy is in the sun? The energy of the sun is sustaining the whole universe. It's not even 8:15, just after 8:15, it's already warm. What to speak of when it begins to be noon, it's going to be hot. And then you get closer and closer and closer, and how much energy is the sun giving? And for what period of time is the sun giving this energy? Since the beginning of creation. And when that sun depletes, or by Krishna's arrangement is no longer radiating, the universe is collapsed. But what's the energy of the sun in comparison to Krishna? This is just a spark of the total energy of Krishna. And the total energy of Krishna is packed within each and every one of Krishna's holy names. What a gift. And Krishna is non-different than his holy name. He's making himself fully present with all of his spiritual potencies through chanting. So one can go on describing those glories, but time isn't going to permit us. Each of those items mentioned, there's no hard and fast rules. Niyamatak smarane nakalaha. There's not a particular time. Okay, now it's time to meditate on Krishna's holy name. Oh, it's over. Stop meditating because it won't do anything. Not kalaha, not time, not circumstance. You can chant the holy name in your sleep. Maybe some of you did last night after the kirtan. But Hari, have you had dreams of chanting kirtan? I'm sure you have. Yes? Huh? Sometimes. I remember from Harinam Sankirtan as a young brahmachari, because we were out on the street 10 hours, 12 hours. Guess what you dream about? You're in kirtan. I mean, not always, but I've had lots of dreams of just being in kirtan and wake up and no, I'm not on 34th Street and 5th Avenue. Or at any time, in any circumstance, you can chant. There's no hard and fast rule. You can chant in the bathroom. You can chant lying down, standing up, standing on your head. You know, chant in any circumstance, in any condition, clean or unclean. Pavitra apavitrova. Sarvavastam gatopiva. Yasmaret pundarikaksham. No hard and fast rules. Unlike the other procedures for uplifting one, through rituals and so on, it's those constraints aren't there. Krishna has so many names. He's made approach so easy to him through the chanting of his holy name. But Durdaivam Idrisha Mahajani Nanuraga Na Anurag. I have no attraction. Unfortunately, I know all these things, but I have no attraction. So why is that? Just like the discussion yesterday, someone was saying in the beginning, very enthusiastic, and then complacency set in. So what happened? What happens is we make offenses. So one should be familiar with the offenses, although there's not hard and fast rules. Anyone can chant. But to get the full effect of love of God and advancing towards that stage of love of God, then one should carefully guard against offenses. And our acharyas describe the root of all the offenses is our inattentiveness. So when chanting, we should be hearing. So Bhurijan has described this in his book. He's made that act of hearing very simple by saying one mantra at a time. Because you can't hear the mantra that you chanted previously. And you can't hear the one that you're going to chant later. But you can hear the one that you're chanting presently. So one mantra at a time. As a little sutra to say, hear attentively. And part of the thing that happens with life as well as with chanting is we bother ourselves about what happened previously, something that we didn't do nicely and we could have done better, and retool it in our mind over and over again until, you know, it could have been better. And then we worry about the future, then something that's coming and so on and so on. We're not present. We're in the past or the future, but not present. There's a whole religion, a religious movement. I don't know that someone gave me the name of it. And I saw the book. But it's just about be here now. That phrase that we heard is now, it's a thing. It's a Buddhist thing practically, because that's part of their practice also. It's not, you know, meditate upon God, but it's, you know, reduce the distractions of the mind from past and present, past and future, and just be present. We reduce the noise of the mind. And one of the things that makes it difficult to do that is the mind wants to make noise. Just like a child wants to talk or cry, or, you know, that's it. He talks or he cries. That's it. And no good reason is going to convince him otherwise. So the mind is like that, just likes to chatter and stuff. So quieting the mind to pay attention, to hear, is this the effect of this one mantra at a time. So under 32 round day, or when we have our kirtans in different parts of today, you can experiment with this one mantra at a time. Try it tomorrow at the 32 round days. I invite you to any one of these different tools. You can take one and see how it works, something that inspires you. Before being here with you at this Festival of the Holy Name, I was in Seattle with a japa retreat that was shorter than this one. But there were a lot of people. Maybe half of the people that were there were like really beginners. One of the attendees, we had our sharing at the end. There's a woman with a lap child. You know, those of you that are mothers, you know how busy that keeps you. So she said, I came here, this was in the sharing thing, I came here just because my husband wanted to come and I wanted to, you know, support my husband and be with all the devotees. But I've never chanted before. I didn't know how to put my hand in the bead bag. Somebody had to show me. They didn't know how to hold beads. Somebody had to show me. But I got a bead bag and some beads, and I thought, I'm here with my child. The child's asleep. I'll try some chanting. And I know some of you are going to be chanting 64 rounds, but you know, I'll just try some chanting. No big expectation. And I was just doing chanting, and time passed, and I had chanted 16 rounds. I thought, wow. 16 rounds. Maybe I can chant another 16 rounds. And I chanted another 16 rounds. I thought, maybe I could chant more than 32 rounds. But my child got restless, so I had to pay attention to the child, and that's as far as I got, was 32 rounds. But I had never chanted before. So being in the association of devotees that are just so focused on chanting, which is what we're attempting to do also, it just happens. It's easier in association. Like take a spark and another spark and another, bring them close together and you got more heat. You got fire, not just a spark. So the consolidating the mind in the present moment, chant one mantra at a time. Something that I've found, that the expression is different, but the effect is the same, and that is be present. It's again like little sutra-like. Be present. So we know what it's like to be present with another person. We also know what it's like when you're in another person's association and they're not present. It doesn't feel right. But something that helps me in chanting is that phrase, be present with Krishna, because it's our opportunity throughout the whole of the day and throughout the whole of our life. It's just Krishna is very kindly making himself available to us through the chanting of the holy name. Be present. Be present with Krishna. When chanting, you're chanting. Just be present with him. As you would want to be with another person. Be present with that other person. Many things may be going on. You may have a lot going on. Put those other things aside, and when you're with someone, be with that someone. Be present. Fully present. May even be a short period of time. It's a whole lot better, a short period of time of being present than a whole long time when you're not. Be present. And be present with Krishna. And by being present with the Holy Name, it helps all of our relationships with others by being present with them, by that disciplining of the mind or opening of the heart to be present. Oh, hearing. And in Bhurijan's presentation, it's hear one mantra at a time. That's a big part of what this book is. So those of you that may in the future read the book, you'll get, you know, a bigger dose of hear. So I'm running out of time to finish everything. The next, number three, is sankalpa. Who knows what the meaning of sankalpa is? Sankalpa. Sankalpa. Okay. Sankalpa means intention. One way that the word sankalpa is used, the classic way that it's used, is when there's a karmakanda ritual. You know what karmakanda rituals are. So I want... My mother and father want me to pass my exam. So they tell me to go to the temple and pray to God. Or they used to say, pray to the God. Or goddess. And so you say your sankalpa. Please help me pass my exam. I've met a number of college students in India that say, the only time I went to the temple was before and after an exam. And I prayed to Saraswati, please help me pass the exam. And, you know, I hope I did well in the exam comes after. And otherwise, that's all I... So that's a sankalpa. Or there's a something, and you want something. It's an intention. From this yajna, this is my intention. So that's on the material side. Now, for us, the intention is something more on the spiritual side. Whatever that sankalpa is, it takes the hearing and magnifies it. I gave the example yesterday, because we are outdoors, the sun passing through a magnifying glass at the right angle, and the distance from a piece of paper can burn a hole and start a fire in the paper. So sankalpa works like that also. It takes all this energy, all of Krishna's energies, and focuses it in a very intense way upon the heart in some form or fashion. So in Bhurijan's book, the intention is, my dear Lord Krishna, please help me, or I wish to, my intention is to hear one mantra at a time. But your sankalpa might be whatever that sankalpa is, whatever is a personal sankalpa for you. I'd like to be present with Krishna. I'd like to honor Krishna's kindness by being with him, becoming attracted to Krishna. I'd like to experience Krishna's attracting me to him, whatever that intention is, your personal sankalpa. It will help you. We have japa retreats. We have a sankalpa ceremony to help, like, fix it in your consciousness. Fix it in the mind. Put the lens at the right angle so you get this fire from the energies of Krishna's holy name. The next one is bring the mind back. So you're going along with your chanting and you're trying to hear one mantra at a time. You're passing that intention through this lens of a sankalpa. And, well, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, the mind wanders. So Bhagavad Gita 6.26, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders. Yato, yato, nischalati. Yato, yato, nischalati. From wherever, whatever and wherever the mind wanders. Chanchala, or nischala. The mind is like that. Manas, chanchalam, asritam, tatastato, niyam yatet yaitad, atmanyeva, vasham nayet. Bring it back. So, bring the mind back. So you're chanting, and things are going nicely. Become a little relaxed, and how much time passes before you realize, well, I'm in outer space again. I'm just, my mouth is going, but I'm not present. The machine is doing its thing, but my attention is elsewhere, and that's offensive. It's one of the root of all offenses. So bring the mind back. Next one is be detached. I'm trying to bring the mind back, but this mind, at least this one, doesn't want to cooperate. So one can get caught up in the mind being not cooperative and angry and, you know, all kinds of, and sad and all kinds of negative emotions, forgetting what your real purpose is. So, detachment means the mantra that I previously chanted that wasn't attentive, I can let go of that experience, and now let me, in a mood of detachment, be present with this mantra that I'm now chanting, or the absorption in the holy name. And not going to worry about, oh gee, I may fail the next one I chant, because the last one was, the last bunch of them were really sloppy. Detached. In the spirit of detachment, can move on. And be present with Krishna. Chant the holy name, this particular mantra, with attention. All of these things, these 2 through 5, have to do with Shikshastakam 2. It's the Dur Daivam Idrisha Mahajani Nadaraga. It's overcoming the offenses due to inattentiveness, and there's stages, you break it down in little stages. This is what Burijan has done, that help one to hear nicely and overcome the inattentiveness of the mind. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text number 17. Satvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso labho evacha pramada mohau tamaso bhavato jnanam evacha. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and delusion. So the mind is like our body, or like, you know, the self, is accustomed to associating with the modes of nature. And due to that customary association with the modes of nature, the mind can get carried away by passion or ignorance. And we want to avoid passion and ignorance as far as possible, and maximize the quality of goodness as far as possible. So this detachment is a feature of the quality of goodness. It's a lens or a condition of knowledge. This is a symptom of the quality of goodness. So through that quality or the lens of knowledge, be detached from passion and ignorance. You see it arising, and maybe even you just wake up and it's got a hold of you. Let go of that passion and ignorance and get back to the just hearing the whole. Take shelter. Be present. The struggle can go on for a whole lot of mantras or a whole lot of rounds or a whole lot of lifetimes. Let go and put your attention where it belongs. It's Maya's trick to take us away from Krishna. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, let go. The holy name has that cleansing potency back to the first one. So with faith in that one, here. Detached from the imperfectness with which we're chanting, and bring your attention to the holy name. Receive that mercy that Krishna is giving. Just keeping within our time constraints, I'm going to end with that. And so the other hour that I have this morning will go through 6, 7, 8, 9. And that's, you know, it's a fast forward through Shikshastakam 3, Shikshastakam 4, Shikshastakam 5, with taking humility, shelter, and taste. Those are the next three. Whoops. Well, we'll do it later. The prelude for the next class is, when you're doing all these things, what happens? If you're doing them sincerely, you realize, help! Krishna! I'm weak. I'm trying sincerely and all these nice things that the chanting of the holy name is doing, and I'm still in the soup. Krishna! It's humility. Genuine humility, not despair. It doesn't decrease one's enthusiasm and effort. It's, my effort is insufficient. I'm so tiny. Krishna! So that's what we're going to do later this morning. So that's the next Shikshastakam verse. Humility. So those of you that have these sheets that were passed out, don't discard them. We're going to, you know, keep them, so when we're together at 11 o'clock, we'll be prepared to chant the next Shikshastakam verse. So we have time for some questions and discussion. Yes. We have a portable microphone, and it's zooming right over to you. Can you put your hand up again? Thank you.
Maharaj, how long time it should take to complete the 16 rounds in ideal way?
I didn't get it.
How long time it should take?
How much time
should
it
take?
How much
time, yeah.
Prabhupada said, generally, 2 hours, and when one becomes more proficient, maybe an hour and a half. I take more than 2 hours. But that's what Prabhupada said. So 2 hours means 7.5 minutes around, what it works out to. And you know, each of us is a little different, but that's a good measure. 8 minutes, 9 minutes, or a little less, 7 minutes. If it starts getting too much less, I don't know how good the hearing is. Does that help? Okay. Yes, Dana Kelly.
In the second Shikshastaka, Lord Chaitanya says that in all of Krishna's names, he's invested all of his transcendental energies. So then somebody might wonder why we're putting so much emphasis on Krishna and Rama, why we don't chant, like Govinda is the name he mentioned in the Shikshastaka number 2. So if all of Krishna's names, all of the Lord's names are invested with all of his transcendental energies, why are we only putting emphasis, or more emphasis,
why not
on Krishna and Rama?
Hari Govinda, Hari Govinda, 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 Hari Hari. Well, I would suggest 3 things. One is, that would be fine. But the second thing is, we chant Hare Krishna because Lord Chaitanya did, and Lord Chaitanya did in part because it's in the Upanishads like that. So we just chant as Lord Chaitanya did. And he did because it's in the Upanishads like that. It's the specifically expressed Kali Sanatan Upanishad is the Mahamantra. So one can chant Hare Govinda, Hare Govinda, 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 Hare Hare. That's also fine. But we chant this way because that's what's given. And the third is, Srila Prabhupada has said that the name Krishna is all attractive. Whatever may be there in attractiveness and the non-difference of Govinda, Krishna's name means the all-attractive. Whatever qualities there are within the Supreme that attract us to Him, Krishna is the summation of that. The name Krishna is the summation of that. So we chant Krishna's name. But another name is fine. Chandramali Swami, you wanted to add? You raised your hand.
I think you answered the question, but just a side note, Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains in that there's 2 categories of names in relationship to that.
But she's saying Govinda. Why not Govinda? That's in the first category.
That's in the first category, yeah. So one has to chant the primary names. Yeah. The secondary names, which are more or less certain functions of the Absolute Truth, one cannot chant those names. But the primary names, yeah. But you answered the question, actually. It's because Lord Chaitanya chanted it, and because it's the Maha Mantra, and because it's the Yuga Dharma.
I was just listening to a lecture where Prabhupada was speaking in Bombay, and he said it very explicitly. You know, people come and say, Swamiji, why are you spoiling everything? You're having them chant Hare Krishna first instead of Hare Rama first. He went over it several times and said, if you want to chant Hare Rama first, that's fine. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So many people say, oh, you're the Hare Ramas. So yes, we're the Hare Ramas.
Yeah.
And when they have kirtan, it's in that reverse order. So if one likes the reverse order, fine. We chant Hare Krishna first.
Then Prabhupada also added to that same response. He said, when you're chanting, well, what's first? It just keeps going after a while. You start off with Hare Krishna, but then it's just, they just put, the names just follow each other after a while.
Yeah. Okay. Someone else? I saw some hand on the lady's side. Anyone? No? Up here?
Maharaj, it seems a great challenge to chant with knowledge.
And chant with knowledge.
And
it's more of a challenge to chant without knowledge.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, when we chant with knowledge, we get a taste for chanting from heart, but then, because mind is infected with modes, you know, it tends to...
The problem is we have a mind. If we could go have a lobotomy somewhere, then maybe it would be easier. But it wouldn't be easier. It's just, you know, an obstinate mind or a mind that's rebellious. It doesn't want to be controlled. It wants to be an American. Independent. So we have to teach the mind, you're not American. You're not independent. You're subordinate to Krishna. This training, it's a matter of training. And gradually, however gradually, lifetimes is fine if it happens, that the real position of contentment, peace, and happiness that the mind wants is found by being at the lotus feet of Krishna. But the mind is rebellious. It's thinking independence is the program of happiness. Jai Jagannath? Pass the phone over, microphone.
Hare Krishna.
In the outset of the Bhagavatam, when Suta Goswami is describing how bhakti develops, in chapter 2,
yes,
and the acharyas are going through Shraddha to Prema,
yes,
through those verses,
yeah,
the emphasis is given mostly on hearing from the Mahasevaya, then most of the emphasis is given on hearing how that brings us through the modes of material nature and overcoming our notches and so on.
Correct.
So I wanted to understand what is the relationship between strong hearing from Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names.
It's a one-to-one correlation. That is to say, like vidya vadho jivanam, everything that's within the holy name, all knowledge, is within the Bhagavatam. It's just revealed. But we could read the Bhagavatam till the cows come home and not get it. But the chanting of the holy name helps us get it, because it's most effective means, although Bhagavatam also, but the speculative mind tendency can just carry us away without purification. So they go well together. And that's how Srila Prabhupada gave it to us, the chanting of the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam, both in a parallel way to cleanse. They both act. It's the bhakti process in the big umbrella terminology that does it. So there's Shravanam and there's Kirtanam. The disclosure of knowledge and the awakening of the capacity to receive that knowledge that can guide us. Okay. So we'll end there.